This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. And according to the Malaysian Reserve, analysts remain pretty sceptical of Felda's turnaround plans, 6 months on from the tabling of the white paper. And this is coming amidst the government proposing 810 million ringgit under budget 2020 to improve the welfare of the Felda community.
So the white paper revealed that Felda's cash balance, it's very critically low at only 35 million ringgit compared to about 2.5 billion ringgit a few years ago, and this prompted the government to inject more than 6 billion ringgit to help Felda meet its debt commitment. Sounds like a bailout to me. That's me.
And if we drill down the numbers, I mean, the analysts do weigh in that Felda's plantation business remains way behind its peers in terms of productivity and yield. Matters were worse for its 33% owned FGV, as the low CPO prices and losses from its sugar business also contributed to FGV's more than doubled losses of 56 million ringgit.
Yeah, so their cash and cash equivalents also dropped by a quarter to a billion ringgit, just a bit of a pocket change there, against a 12 billion ringgit worth of liabilities. Now, dividends and income from the land lease agreement with FGV were among Felda's main revenue streams, and some reports also suggest that Felda might review its LLA with FGV.
Yeah, because they have this agreement, right, whereby they lease the property actually from the Felda Group, and they pay as much as, if I'm not wrong, 200 over million ringgit every year. It's just cash out of it, cash out of FGV to pay Felda. Now, there's this discussion whether they will relook at this land lease agreement, because let's face it, you know, FGV has is in a tough position, but at the same time, you do have to bear in mind Felda's requirements, and they also have people to look after, right? So it's this balancing act. Now, the question is, at FGV level, are they doing enough? Are they improving the matrix that you look at when you look at a plantation company? So you're looking at cost per ton, yield per hectareage. That has to come up to speed. Because if you think about palm oil, what is it? Everyone is actually essentially a price taker, right? There's only one price for CPO. Mm-hmm. So you have to be clever in terms of your costing. Yeah. And also how you sell, how much you sell forward, how much you sell at spot. All that is kind of a very delicate balancing act. And we know CPO price hasn't been the best in the last few years.
Yeah, there is the geopolitical factor affecting palm oil prices as well, with India coming into the fray to right now say they don't want to buy palm oil anymore from Malaysia. Some sanctions happening there. But as far as FGV is concerned, there is that de facto white knight of Malaysia in the form of Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar. He's circling around.
Yeah.
He's circling around, isn't
he? He's picking up stakes in all of the media companies. And now apparently FGV is looking to bring in a strategic equity partner. And this was reported by The Edge last month that a potential partner could be Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar, who could be buying up to a 20% stake in FGV Holdings Berhad.
So what's up with this? Is this... I mean, he's known to have a very good relationship with Dr. Mahathir. People just acknowledge that, right? Although it's not documented. So what's happening here? I mean, he paid a premium for Media Prima, and now we have
60
a very...
60 cents.
Correct. And now we have a very beleaguered FGV. Is he about to pay a premium for FGV?
Well, if you look at what Tan Sri Syed Mokhtar has in terms of... agriculture, let's call, you know, what business he has in terms of like what is could be related, what is synergistic. He has the trade wind groups of companies, right, which includes the plantation and Central Sugar's refinery. Don't forget, FGV has a stake in MSM, which is another sugar refinery. So these two businesses are already businesses that FGV is involved in. So yes, maybe there is some synergy, there is some economies of scale, and you could look at merging these two entities to bring down the overall cost. Like I say, even in the sugar business, you're very much a price taker. Raw sugar prices is not something you can really change very much. So you are subject to the whim, you know, market forces. So all players globally end up trying to be either very niche or very big so that you can lower your cost of production.
Yeah, but I hope it's being done at a kind of competitive pricing that's good for minority shareholders, for investors in the market, and not because of some relationship that Syed Mokhtar has with the Prime Minister. I don't think we want to go back to those days when prized companies, not that I'm saying FGV is a prized company, but at least it's an asset, right? Assets going to cronies on the cheap. That's not a situation that we want to go back to.
No, I mean, it has to be based on what is a fair value. Of course, there's a lot of debate as to what would you deem as a fair value for FGV, considering it has been loss-making for the last few years. But one very simple matrix could be just the value of the land, right? The replacement cost of all the plantations. And significantly, they do have quite a lot of plantation.
Yeah, and there were some calculations that if FGV were to merge with Tradewinds Plantations, their combined entity would have around 590,000 hectares of land for palm oil plantations. And this would put them close to on par with Sime Darby Plantation, who have 598,000 hectares. Now, don't forget also that Restu Jerne, which is the entity that owns the Tradewinds Group of companies, they also do hold the lion's share of rice distribution through the country through Paribas Nacional, or popularly known as Bernas. And with all of this involved, particularly with the sugar refinery, palm oil, rice distribution, if acquiring this stake in FGV could make Restu Jerne a very dominating power in all three industries.
Yeah, which is critical when you think about it, because it's all the staples that we use, right? You're talking about palm oil, you're talking about rice, you're talking about sugar. But yeah, on the flip side, there was this whole debate whether we should move away from monopolies.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. That we should have a more open system so that actually costs of all these essential goods could perhaps come down. Because at the current juncture, let's say for rice, is it too much in the hands of one company?
Absolutely, yeah. And sugar too. And sugar, in spite of the evils of consuming sugar, you know, it's still a staple for Malaysians. And perhaps MyCC should step in and look into things like that, whether there is an abuse of position.
Yeah, I don't think I would be able to take my Locoso all the time. I need that little bit of sugar in my life.
You need a day off from my Locoso.
Well, we are also running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account on the subject of Felda. Do let us know what you think. We're asking you what has been Felda's biggest problem. We've had about 80 votes so far, and you've still got an hour and a half left to weigh in. So let us know. We'll be taking a look at the results of the poll throughout the rest of the morning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.